like I said, it's good to be here. I've truly enjoyed the day and fellowship with your pastor and his wife. Words can never express how grateful I am that over the years that God has allowed our paths to cross and allowed us to rejoice in our great God and our Savior. He is truly, truly gracious. Truly. If you would, turn in your Bible tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I'm going to begin at verse 9. Before I begin reading these verses, reading down through verse 18, to remind you that this is what is commonly called one of the prison epistles written by the Apostle Paul while he sat in a prison cell. Now, the prison cell he was in is not like a cell we would know today. It was more like a very dark dungeon. Probably very little light ever entered into where he was at. And even though he was there by the purpose and providence of God, that God was still there with him, and God met his need, even in that prison cell. And we begin in verse 9. It says, "Those things which ye have both heard, both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Verse 9. Now verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." But what Paul is saying, he's writing to these Philippians because this group of believers had decided that they wanted to do something for Paul. They had sent a gift to Paul. We don't know whether it was finances or it might have been clothes. It could have been food. It could have been a lot of different things. But God allowed it to come to their heart, and they sent this gift to Paul. In verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want." And I want you to see this. He said, "For I have learned," and we have to learn this over and over and over again. What did he say, "I've learned"? "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Whether it's out of prison, whether it's in prison, I have learned to be content. Oh, that God would enable us to learn to be content. Verse 12. "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to watch this and to suffer need." Unless anyone would misinterpret what Paul was saying and to think that Paul was saying that he could do this in and of his own strength, he was the Apostle Paul, but he was still just a man. He was just a man saved by God's almighty, marvelous, amazing grace. And he said in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I can be content in whatever state I am. I can suffer need or I can be full. I can do all these things through Christ which strengtheneth me. "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, or you sent once again and again unto my need. Not that I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now watch this, an odor of a sweet smell. This gift that you sent, was an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You mean that little gift that this small church, probably just a small, poor church is the way the world would look at it, that that gift that they sent was well-pleasing to God? How can anything that we as sinners do be well-pleasing to God? There's only one way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said it's well-pleasing. And it's acceptable to God. Verse 19. But my God. Shall supply, or shall someone say it, or shall fill to the brim, shall supply all your need, whether it's a physical need, whether it's a spiritual need, whatever that need is, my God shall supply all your need. How? According to his riches in glory. And he's rich. He's not some pauper. He's not some beggar. He is rich in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything that God does for a sinner, he does through Jesus Christ, our mediator. If God supplies your need, if he supplies my need, whatever that need is, he will supply it through Jesus Christ and him alone. And we're needy people. We are needy people. And that's kind of what I wanted to look at tonight, this subject of great need. And how does God supply that need? So I want us to look, if you would, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I think this passage of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, illustrates that great theme of God supplying that need. And the title of the message is God Filling Empty Vessels. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Here in this story, we see this woman. She was a wife of one of the sons of the prophets, probably one of the 7,000 that had not bowed to the image of Baal, and he had died. She's left now with her and her two sons, and she's also left with a great debt. And she comes out of great need, because the creditors have come to her, and they said, We're going to take your sons, and they're going to be bond servants. They're going to have to serve us. Why? Somebody's got to pay off the debt. Somebody's got to pay off the debt. When Adam sinned, he incurred a great debt. Wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The world would like to think, well, it's not my debt. They come to those sons, they come to this woman, and they said, someone's got to pay the debt. And this woman now comes out of what? Great need. She has an earnest need because she's in a desperate situation. Knowing human nature as I know human nature, I probably assume that she probably sold everything she had to try to pay off the debt. Because you'll notice in verse 2 it said, when the prophet asked her what she had left, she said, I don't have anything in the house but a pot of oil. That's the only thing that I have. And she would have parted with everything else but this pot of oil, the only thing that was of any value to her. We cannot, of our own efforts, pay off the debt. But it's still got to be paid. Somebody's got to pay the debt. And this woman knew it. And she says, what am I to do? What am I to do? Desperation. And let me tell you something. You know when we come to God? When we're needy. 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 Desperate. Nowhere else to go. We come to our great mediator. We come to him in time of need. And that's when we really cry. She came. She came to the prophet. She said he did fear the Lord. He did serve God. Even though he did those things, that was no evidence that he would not die in poverty. He died in poverty. Died in poverty. And look in verse 2. And Elisha, the prophet, said to her, what shall I do for thee? You know what he's saying? How can I help you? I'm poor also. You know what that's a picture of? That preacher, this preacher, or no other preacher can help a sinner. I know we preach the gospel. We point people to Christ. But only God can help a sinner. In religion, preachers love to be called reverend. They love to be called doctors. The papist and those in a Baptist church are no different. They want people to come to them and confess their sins, and they actually want people to think that they can help them. They can't help them. And that's what this prophet says. How can I help you? How can I help you? But let me tell you, he did have a remedy. You know what he told her to do? He said, you and your sons, go to your neighbors and borrow empty vessels. To us, that sounds so foolish, doesn't it? What sounded reasonable to us was, don't you go borrow some money? Why don't you go borrow some full vessels? But go borrow empty vessels. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. People think, well, the gospel just won't get the job done anymore. We've got to have something else. Surely God needs some help. We must have a bake sale. We must have a rummage sale. They had the most stupid thing I've ever seen a couple of weeks where I live in the paper. I thought I'd seen everything. But now they have this thing called a Christian sportsman banquet. And they sell these tickets. They sold every ticket they had, run out of tickets, probably sold 500 tickets. And they had a big picture in the paper, a big ad, had a big deer head with antlers out right here, and in the middle of it had a cross that says, we're hunting for Jesus. And people will come to those things and buy tickets, and they will not come and hear the gospel. Why? It's foolishness to them. God works in ways that he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? That no flesh glory in his sight. When Gideon was getting ready to go out in battle against the Midianites, he said, you've got too many. You've got too many. Why? I will get the glory. I will get the glory. And God worked here in the life of this widow and met her need in such a way that he got all the glory. This woman was in a sad position. She was desperate, desperate, desperate. She came to the prophet in her need. And he was pleased to provide her a way of escape. And listen, God takes care of us in ways that exercise our faith. And God will bring you through But do not expect him to bring you through in a way that human reason would suggest. For that would not provide any development for your faith. He brings you in a way that increases your faith. And I'll tell you tonight, if you have faith, God gave it to you. If you have faith, it's a gift of God. And if you have faith, God will try that faith so you look to him more and to yourself less. And you must depend upon him. Say, how am I going to have my need met? Don't you think Paul felt that way when he was sitting in a prison cell? How's God going to meet my need? How is God going to take care of me? He will, and he did. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. He will and he does take care of his people. I try not to be too personal. But when Debbie, my wife, and she took ill and was sick, she was in the hospital for probably about 9 weeks. But when she first got sick, when they told me that she might not live, I didn't think I could handle it. 9 weeks later, it was a lot easier. Say, well, you're just strong. No, God met the need. And you know, we prayed and said, why don't God heal her? God, would you touch her body and heal her body? He did. It might not have been the way we would have wanted, but he did. He did. He met that need. He met her need. And you know what? He gets all the glory. We see here in God filling these empty vessels, every one of them. They were every one filled. If you have a need, he'll fill it with his grace. What did he say in Philippians chapter 4? According to what? The riches of his grace. He's rich and increased with good. He's rich. Listen, as long as there were vessels to be filled, as long as there is needs to be filled, the miraculous oil of grace continued to flow, and it only ceased when there was no more jars to contain it. Nothing else in the universe restrains the flow of oil but the want of vessels to receive it. The vessels failed before the oil failed. Our powers of receiving give out long before his powers of bestowing. What a gracious God. Amen. He come on the mountain one day, fed 5,000 from 5 loaves. And he told the disciples, you go take up the fragments. They was 12 baskets full. He filled every one of them, every man, woman, boy, and child. He filled, he met every need. And he still does. He still does. He still does. When they were in the wilderness, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And God sent them manna every day. Every day. He sent them just enough for one day, except on the sixth day, he sent them enough for 2 days. Why? So they would trust God for each day. Human nature has said, boy, I wish you'd send me a week's supply at one time. If they tried to hoard it up, it would mold. But he met their need. Today and tomorrow. Let me tell you this, if you're his, you need grace today. You need grace tomorrow. You need grace the next day. And he will meet that need. What is our greatest need? We need him. We can do without a lot of things, but we can't do without him. That is the greatest need we have. The only thing that this woman had was a pot of oil. The only thing. But it continued to stream forth as vessel by vessel were placed under this. It continued to flow. This also is a picture of God's saving grace bestowed upon empty, helpless sinners. Said as long as she brought a vessel, and placed it under the pot, the oil would flow. As long as there's one of God's elect out there, the oil will flow. And when he's brought the last one in, when the last sheep has been gathered in, all the church has been gathered in, the oil will stop and will be gone.
Amen.
When I was coming up the road this morning, something was wrong with my CD player. It just would not play, so I could not pick up local stations. So here I am trying to find something to listen to, try to stay awake this morning. I come across some religious station. And this man was talking about, and I've not heard this in years, he was talking about the mid and post-tribulation and all these things. He said, oh, I believe this. Let me tell you this. There was a man named Lot that lived in a place called Sodom. And God was going to destroy that place. And he could not destroy that place as long as Lot was there. And God sent his angels and brought out Lot. And the day that God brought Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained hail on that place and God destroyed it. The only thing that holds back God's wrath from this earth is God's people. When he's gathered his, we're going home. We're going home. And the oil still flows. God's grace still flows. You know why? There's more empty vessels. There's more empty vessels. And he will fill every empty vessel. The only requirement for those vessels was when the prophet told the woman to go out and find the vessels, the only requirement was, he said, now you must find a lot of them. Find as many as you can get, but they've got to be empty. They've got to be empty. I can see her neighbor say, well, here's one about half full. No, it won't do. This one's got a little bit of oil. No, it won't do. It's grace or no grace. There's no mixture. The only requirement is that God requires is that the vessels must be empty. The grace is with him, not with us. Just as the oil was in the woman's pot, not in the empty vessels. A full Christ is for empty sinners and for empty sinners only. As long as there's really an empty soul, there'll be oil to go forth. It's not our emptiness, but our fullness that can hinder God's grace. Somebody asked Mr. Spurgeon one time. He said, don't you think the greatest hindrance to salvation is man's sinful self? He said, oh no. Man's greatest hindrance is his righteous self. You know people, and I know people. And most of them claim to be religious. They're just like the Laodicean church. You know what they said? We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, that God would make them empty. God would make them empty. And God would make us and keep us empty. You know, our biggest problem is ourself. I was talking about that man serving two masters. Paul, I don't know how long he was saved when he made that statement, but he'd been saved many years when he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He didn't say, oh, wretched man that I used to be. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. We don't get beyond that. We're still nothings and nobodies. We're still filled with sin. Our best effort is sin. And oh, that we would come to God as empty vessels. No man's too bad to come to Christ, but many are just too good. The Pharisee in the temple, he said, Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. I'm not like that old publican. I give my tithes. I do this and I do this and I do that. And that old publican over there wouldn't even lift up his eyes and he beat upon his breast. He said, God be merciful. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And what he was an empty vessel. Empty vessel. Empty vessel. As long as there is anything good left in any man upon which he puts his trust, the grace of our Lord will not flow into him. And we sing the hymn. It says, "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Do you need forgiveness? Tonight, do you need forgiveness? The oil of grace will flow when we come to him as empty-handed sinners. Nothing in my hand to bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Some people say, well, I'll make all these good resolutions. I'm going to promise to do better and do this. And that's all it is resolutions. Everybody, the 1st of January, makes all these New Year resolutions, and that's all they are. They probably mean every one of them. And we fail every time. If you can save yourself, Christ will not save you. And that's our problem today. People think they can save themselves. They say, well, you take the first step. If you can take the first step, you don't need God. We must be emptied of all self in all forms before grace will fill us. Christ does not need, he does not need our help. I know it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching, and I know he uses preachers, but it's still up to God. Amen. If the only voice you hear tonight is mine, we'll leave just as empty as we came. But if you hear him speak, that's a different story. That's a different story. We should give up once and for all, depending upon what we have done or what we think we shall do. Oh, that we would find more empty vessels. I talk to people and all they want to do is talk about what they've done. So I remember I made a decision years ago. I was baptized. Boy, it's nice to find a sinner that realizes that they have nothing. They're bankrupt. Their pockets are empty. They're needy. Needy. What did he say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's spiritual hunger. That's spiritual thirst. We don't know much about physical hunger. We just eat because we like to. We usually don't get hungry between meals, and that's just be honest. But you ever seen a man really hungry? I'm talking about really hungry. He hadn't eaten anything for days. He's hungry. He wouldn't let anything stand in his way. You see people that drive several miles just to hear the gospel. And what you was talking about, that church who went for years and just watched tapes and things. Why? They was hungry. They was nowhere else to go. You know what? They is empty. Empty. They was hungry. 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 In this miracle, as soon as these empty vessels were brought under this pot of oil, they were all filled. And I want to stress the word, it was a miracle. How did it happen? It's only one pot. How can one pot fill so many vessels? That's a miracle. The salvation of a soul is a miracle. It's a miracle there's anybody here. It's a miracle anybody believes. It's a miracle. A miracle. The new birth, it's a miracle. An illustration of that is Abraham. God said, you're going to have a son. Well, in a fit of unbelief, he goes in to Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, and they produce a son named Ishmael. Abraham can say, look what we did. But God said, I'm going to give you a son. I think Ishmael was probably about 13 years old, somewhere along in there. And God was faithful to his promise. And God overshadowed Sarah. She conceived and had a son named Isaac. And I can see Sarah, she holds up that baby. And she says, look what God did. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Do you believe the night? That's a miracle. God filled your empty vessel with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Filled you with what? Filled you with Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you don't want anything or anyone else. You just want Him. He makes you willing to want Him. We didn't want Him. We did not want Him. But He wanted us. He did. He wanted His bride, and He came for His bride. He had His bride, and He got His bride, and He made her willing. It didn't matter what the size of the jar. It could have been a small jar. It could have been a large jar, and they were all filled. He can save any sinner. The size of the vessel, the age of the vessel, the shape of the vessel, it didn't matter. That was immaterial. It was only to be brought empty. When a sinner receives Christ, he shall receive all the grace he wants till he's full. My sister used to be wrapped up in Catholicism. And she used to be wrapped up also in holiness and Pentecostalism and all these things, seeking two or three works of grace. And I would talk to her. Great lengths. And she said that those people would actually tell her, you need to seek the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in tongues. You need to seek these things. The Holy Ghost will point you to Him. And when you have Him, you're full. And that's all you ever want. You are what? Complete in Him. Full. There's grace to pardon you, grace to change your nature, grace to keep you changed, grace to preserve you, and grace that will bring you all the way to glory. There's grace. And let me tell you, He doesn't have to fill. He says they were filled to the brim. Like what David said, he said, my cup runneth over. I just can't contain it. Has God ever filled your empty vessel? And it was just more than you could stand. I like that little article you had in the bulletin. Rather to have heart without words than words without heart. When God fills your vessel, sometimes you don't know what to say. Just don't know what to say. As long as there exists an empty, penniless, poverty-stricken soul that longs and yearns after a precious Christ, there is a precious Christ for that longing, needy soul. There's more to be filled. The woman said, she turned and looked at her son and said, is there not any more empty vessels? And I'll ask you tonight, is there not any more empty vessels? Is there not any more? You know, I hear people talking about what happened in Spurgeon's day. What happened in Jonathan Edwards' day. What happened in Whitfield's day. What's going to happen in our day? We still serve the same God. We still preach the same gospel. He still saves sinners the same way. He still fills empty vessels. He still fills empty vessels. Are you dead? He'll give you life. Are you sick? He'll be your health. Are you a beggar? He'll be your riches. And are you lost? He'll be your Savior. This can be applied to any spiritual blessing. We bring our empty vessels, and therefore, when there's no more empty vessels, the oil is stayed. We don't sufficiently see our poverty. Unbelief hinders the flow of oil. He said one time he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief declares it's impossible that more oil could come from the pot and refuses to bring more empty vessels. Oh, if we only believed. God help our unbelief. Pride's a hindrance to grace. Soul poverty leads to fullness, but carnal security creates barrenness. The Holy Spirit delights to comfort every hungry heart, but the full soul loafeth the honeycomb. And this also can have reference to prayer. The prophet told the woman to borrow empty vessels, not a few. If she had borrowed few, she'd have got little oil. In reference to ourself, what if this woman had brought the vessels into the house and not used them? Sometimes we say, well, God wouldn't be concerned with that. He careth for you. He wants you to bring those empty vessels to Him. To Him. In reference to others, we ought to treat others as if they were empty vessels to be filled. Oh, that God would lead us to empty vessels. And this can have reference to you praying for your pastor, that God would make him aware of his emptiness, that God may fill him with his grace, and that God would enable all of us when we come to the house of God to feel our emptiness, our need, and that God might fill us with his grace, with his grace. And we should do the same for our children, our relatives. We should not stop praying for them till they're all converted. Many times we say, well, we prayed for them, don't seem like anything happens. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm reminded of, they were some men one day, they were going to bring their friend to Christ. They came to the house where Christ was at. The whole house was filled. They couldn't even get to where he was at. You know, they would have probably said, why don't we just take him back home? Maybe it's not meant for God to heal him. But you know what they did? They got up on the roof, started tearing the roof off. They said, if we can get our friend to Jesus, maybe God will show him mercy. And they let him down through the roof where Christ was at, and God healed that man. Oh, that God would give us faith to believe that God still fills empty vessels. And this also has reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. Works like the wind, so mysterious. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, the very same man that only a few days earlier denied that he even knew our Lord began to curse and to swear. And this same man stands and preaches the gospel, and God fills 3,000 empty vessels at one time. He's still the same God. Still the same God. Something I want you to see. The prophet told this woman to do something. He said, you go get the empty vessels. You take those empty vessels, you and your son, go into the house. And he told her this twice. He said, shut the door. Why shut the door? Shut out every hindrance. Have you ever come to the house of God and been hindered? Does it seem like your mind runs in 1,000 different ways? Or am I the only one just talking about me? Block out the hindrances. You know, voices come and say, God can't do that. That's impossible. There's no way that God can fill all these empty vessels. He can fill every one of them. Our God's a sovereign God. He sits on the throne of this universe, and there's not anything he can't do. Unbelief said, they're too bad a sinner. God just can't do something for them. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can, and yes, he does. In closing, I want you to look at verses 6 and 7. It said, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, now watch this. Go sell the oil and pay the debt. God provided the way that the debt could be paid. Then he said, what's left, you and your sons live on it. God pays the debt, and we live on his grace every single day. Amen. May God fill empty vessels. Amen.